bringing you the decision makers and future stars of the NFL. Live from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, it's The Opening Drive. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Peter King.
We're back at the NFL Scouting Combine, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Over 40 hours of continuing combine coverage this weekend here on Sirius NFL Radio. We're joined by Scott Pioli, the president and general manager.
What was that music?
Let's see. What was it, Dave? Music. You know all music.
It was Hall & Oates.
So do I, but
Baby
Hall
&
Oates.
Yeah, yeah, that's a little
you
weak.
You can do it all, too.
Oh, Peter, geez.
Well, I forgot that you like to sing. We just lost our seven listeners in Wichita. Scott, give us a little rundown right now on what your priority is in player acquisition this offseason with the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a long list, and I don't know from a priority standpoint. We have, again, when you win four games, you have such a high number of needs that, you know, there's a number of priorities. Again, I can't sit here and say that everything is 1A, 1B, 1C, you know, and on and on. So there's a lot of I can't sit here and delineate right now exactly what the differences are, but we've got a lot of needs. You know, one of the things we tried to accomplish last year was to improve our depth and get better on special teams. We made a significant jump in that area. Now we need to continue. We picked up a couple of very good frontline players and starters, and now we need to continue to do that at other positions.
How does the uncertain finances of the league and the impact it's had on free agency, which is to say that free agency looks a lot quieter, or it's going to be a lot quieter than it's been, impact what you need to do with so many of those, as you say, areas to address? And under normal circumstances, you have the full breadth of free agency as well as the draft to work with it. Has it altered any of the approach this year?
For me, it hasn't, because the bottom line is, you know, I was hired to go out and find players and improve this football team. So regardless of whatever the climate is, whatever the circumstances are, I've got to go out and find good players, and I've got to find upgrades. I think a lot of is being made out of what the circumstances are. The circumstances don't matter. The fan base in Kansas City doesn't care what the circumstances are. The fan base, the other 31 teams, don't care what the circumstances are. We need to know, once we find out exactly what they are, we need to go to work, and everybody needs to try to improve their football team, and that's what I'm going to do.
Have there been any restrictions placed on you by Clark Hunt?
No.
Involving money because of the 2000 potential for the 2011 lockout?
Absolutely not. You know, and it's regardless of that, this job that I took at Peter, it was a conversation, you know, during the interview and a subsequent conversation I had with Clark. I wanted to make sure that there weren't parameters put on us financially, because I had, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a situation like that in New England, where the Kraft family didn't put parameters on us. They trusted us to do our job, and they trusted we were going to go out and try to find good value. And Clark promised that, and he stuck to his word thus far, and I'm certain he will. Clark Hunt is an extremely competitive person. And
he doesn't seem it that way a lot of times when you meet him. Nicest guy on the planet, yeah. Everything.
No, but he'll give you a little insight to him. Now, again, here's someone, you know, the four Hunt children. In Clark's case, you know, put yourself in his shoes. Here's a young man. He's born into the Hunt family. He knows that his life is going to be privileged to a certain degree. He knows that, you know, there's certain things are going to be set for him financially in the future. But here's a guy who, you know, graduates from St. Mark's and down in Dallas, then goes to SMU, which is a pretty darn good school academically. He goes on there to become a captain of the soccer team, to be one of their best players, but also graduates first in his class, not in his department, but number one in the entire class, graduating class at SMU. And if you think about someone like that, again, there was no reason for him to have to do that, and other than some internal drive, something driving him and pushing him. And you're right, he does it in a very different – it's part of his personality. But someone who has a life plan and knows how things are going to be, to push themselves to be number one in their graduating class at their college university, and then leaves and doesn't go to work in the family business, goes to work in Goldman Sachs, away from the family, up in New York. Again, I think if you watch people's actions speak louder than their words and what right. they do, and I think Clark's a great example of that.
Can you talk about the transition, Scott? I mean, a year ago you came into this new job, this new role with a new team, new environment and getting to know people such as Clark Hunt and, mm-hmm. and how they do business and how they want to do things. And there has to be, for anybody, a period of getting to know you, of transitioning. You're past that in year one, but tell me the difference maybe between approaching this beginning, this quote, official beginning of the offseason here at the Combine now as opposed to a year ago when you stepped into it.
Well, I think a couple things. I know the players better. Last year when I got in here, I knew the players based on the film that I had watched. But you don't know those players intimately. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they are from a makeup standpoint, from a competitive standpoint. You don't know how they're going to respond and react to certain things. That's the case with the players. It's that case with the coaching staff, with the people around you, and you know the other people working within the scouting department, the personnel department. Right. But it's also, I think, something that goes unnoticed at times is, this is an organization. Beyond the football operation, there's a lot of things that touch the football operation and affect or impact our performance and our ability. And getting to know those people, and again, whether it's the marketing department, community relations, public relations, you know, the equipment people, the video people, and all of we came in with a different system and a different culture and a different sense of urgency than it existed, and we have to learn how to grow together. And there's a lot of other departments and things that touch the football program. We're still in that learning phase and growing phase.
Scott, we got 30 seconds for the people who are who in Kansas City who don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Tell them there's a light.
There's absolutely a light. And you know, Peter, one of the things I said when I got there, I have only made one promise from the time that I got there, and that's I'm going to work tirelessly until this job is done and it's done the right way. You know, I had a situation. I could have stayed where I was. I came here for a reason, and the reason is to win and to make this football team better and to bring a team and have a team in that community that the community can be really proud of.
Scott, one final football question for me. You got a lot of people now looking at the draft this mm-hmm. year. Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, the two defensive tackles who will go mm-hmm. clearly in the top five. You having a high first-round pick. I wonder, when you analyze these guys, does one of them seem to be a better all-around tackle than the other, whereas one of them might be more of a three-technique rush guy? How do you look at those two guys?
Here's what I think. I think this is a unique year where there are actually two guys that are so good and good on a lot of different in a lot of different ways. Where they're not only, I think both guys can fit any kind of system and be productive and be very good football players. They they each have different strengths, but the strengths are so strong that they counter the others. I think they're two. This is a unique year where you've got two outstanding.
Has
prospects.
There been in your memory a year when two defensive tackles as versatile as this are in a draft?
Well, I go back to the Richard Seymour year. I mean, you know,
Richard Seymour, Gerard Warren.
It was Richard Seymour. Well, Warren ended up as Warren ended up.
Yeah.
But that Marcus Stroud was in
Marcus
that draft.
Stroud,
yeah, they said, and that was a strong defensive line draft. Yeah.
Scott, listen, thank you so much for joining us here on Sirius Radio. We appreciate it. All the best to you as you continue to rebuild the Kansas City Football Chiefs.